Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today. And sit back, get comfortable. We're glad you're here. We've got a great show headed your way. Our good friend Paul Stankowski of PGA Tour and PGA Tour Champions joins us here in just a little bit to talk about, who knows? It could be anything that's going to come up, but it'll be entertaining, I promise you that. And we'll also look into a little bit of what's happening, not so much on the PGA Tour because it's kind of a settled down time of the year for them, but the women are cranking it up. They were in the Dallas area just last week, and now they've turned right around and gone a little bit south down to Houston and playing at the Women's U.S. Open at Champions in Houston. So we'll talk about that a little bit too. Frank Bassett, old stomping grounds in Houston, one of the stops he's made in his varied career. So we'll talk a little bit about Champions as well and what's going on there. Speaking of Frank, joins us as always from the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. I was going to go to the Women's U.S. Open at Champions Golf Club, but they haven't dropped those charges in Harris County yet. So I'm going to stay away.
Yeah, stay away.
No, it's. I'd love to be there. It's going to be a great week. And that golf course, the two golf courses there, Cypress and Jackrabbit, are tough courses. I mean, but that Champions Golf Club is a spectacular place. Founded by Jimmy DeMeritt and Jackie Burke Jr. back in 57, I believe it was. Yeah. So anyway, no, doing good. Just trying to get through it, get through the year and get to 2021, and hopefully, like magic, we'll flip the switch.
Things will be better. Can't get worse, right?
Hope so, brother.
Can't get worse.
Don't say that. It could.
So, I guess we're hoping. Yeah, the vaccine and everything. Matter of fact, back to what you're talking about, Champions, if I'm not mistaken, Frank, there's a lot of history at Champions, but is there not also history that I believe it's the last tournament, last golf course that the great Ben Hogan ever played? Did he not pick up and quit kind of like in the middle of a round at, don't remember the tournament, but it was in Houston. He had like a double bogey on a par three, the sixth hole, something like that. And I almost think there's a plaque there that he picked up his ball. At this point now, he's closing in on 50 years old, I think, or something, and he just said, can't do it anymore, just don't have it, and he quit playing right there at Champions. You know that story?
I don't know the whole story. I've heard bits and pieces from our good friend Steve Elkin.
Yeah.
Steve's a member there, of course.
Yeah, he'd probably know.
And Steve knows,
I'd heard that. It's that tough a course. It would be that tough a course that would make Hogan quit. So it doesn't say much about if I ever
played. There was a story about Hogan also. I believe it was Hogan in Jacksonville, Florida, at the old Greater Jacksonville Open, GJO, at Hyde Park there, a public course, took an 11 on a par 3. So, hello.
So Tiger's not alone then, right, is what you're saying.
Tiger's one back. He's one back. He took a 10.
Speaking of guys that might have taken a double digit on a hole, let's find out about that.
Oh,
Paul
nice.
Stankowski joins us. I didn't say he did. I'm just curious if he has or not.
Nice.
How are you doing today, Stanky?
You know, I'm doing well. I think this interview might just end like
now.
Last round did. I'm out. That'd be awesome.
I'm done.
Wouldn't that be great? Forget
mic drop.
Yeah.
I know I've made
have
it.
Ever,
I remember looking at my very first scorecard. My first round I played golf ever was in 1978, at the ripe age of 8 years old. And I think I did make a 10 on a hole. I shot 147, so I figured I probably made a few high numbers.
Maybe a couple of 10s, yeah.
But
as a
pro,
I don't
recall
ever?
Making a double digit on a hole as a pro. I've made some big ones. I know that. I just don't think I've ever made a 10. But that doesn't mean anything. I've made plenty of nines probably. So.
Yeah. Well, it is, by the way, speaking of, you mentioned Tiger and what happened to him at Augusta. We haven't talked to you, Paul, in several weeks. So we can go back and talk about a few different things. Did you enjoy Augusta? Did you enjoy it being played in the fall? We had no choice, so I guess it is what it is. But did it look similar to you? Do you think it played fairly similar to the place it normally plays in April?
You know, I was anticipating a lot fewer leaves on trees, but I guess there's just a bunch of pines, and obviously pine trees don't lose their leaves. But I wanted to see, thinned out forest, leaves everywhere. We did see a little bit of leaves, but I wanted to see leaves, pine straw, just like debris everywhere. I thought it would have been amazing for a golf course that is pristine and nothing's out of place. Still didn't see a squirrel. Not sure where they put their squirrels in the either. Forest around.
Microwave technology.
But it was squirrels. I liked it. I thought it was good. It appeared as though the golf course was obviously more wet. Go ahead and play whatever music you want to play.
Sorry, I was. That's a call from Brendan Sweeney right in the middle of the show. Sorry, guys.
There you go.
I'm not going to take it. He's a good guy.
Okay. It was wet, so the course played a little bit longer. And you know, when they overseed the golf course, that's the thing. I mean, when you do rye overseed, the plant is a baby for quite a while, and you know it sprouts. You know, it germinates and it's. Sprouts a little thing and it gets a little bigger, and then all of a sudden over the course of the winter time and more so into early spring is when it really starts becoming thick and dense, and that's what we usually see in April. My yard, I overseed every year except for this year, it always looks the best Masters week, but it looks pretty thin and not so great. Has a little bit of a yellowish tint to it, usually in November, and that's what we saw. So but it was still Augusta. It was so cool to sit back and watch the Masters late in the year. So, I'm stoked that we don't have to wait an entire year to watch it again. So April will be here before we know it.
We're joined by Paul Stankowski from PGA Tour, also PGA Tour champion. Speaking of champions, that's an endeavor for you now, and you're trying to get more and more. Events in on the PGA Tour champions. Where's that stand for you right now? As far as, because I don't even know from the COVID standpoint, the qualifying, I think was eliminated or whatever. Where do you stand on PGA Tour champions right now?
Well, yeah, they chose to make one big super season. So obviously we lost probably a dozen, 10 or 12 events, I think, on the year. And so instead of having a Schwab Cup champion a couple weeks ago, the playoffs just became regular events, and it's one big season. So they eliminated Q School. Yeah. So those players who did get their card back last December, they'll have a few more events. I think once they get in the number of events that they would have gotten in this year, combined events, they'll that category goes away. Those spots will go back into just the, the alternate list, and it is what it is. The schedule came out, a couple events got moved, so the first Monday qualifying opportunity that I'm going to have will be late February at the Cola Guard in Tucson. So
okay,
that will be my start, and I'll have to do the Monday qualifiers and write letters and ask sponsors and tournament directors if they'll give me a spot in the field. It's a tough one. You know, there's a bunch of guys like me, probably 50 of them that, have won on the tour, that are on the outside looking in, don't have enough career money and all that stuff, that are asking for spots every week. So slim pickings. I'm going to do Mondays.
Frank, don't we know somebody at Cola Guard?
Oh, yeah, the CEO of Exact Sciences. Yeah, pretty well. As a matter of fact, since he was a sponsor of this show.
Put a word for you. Yeah, we can put a word in there for
you. That would be amazing. Pauly Paul. Yeah, so I would love that.
Because Frank's gone to that tournament a number of times down there in Tucson. He loves Tucson.
6 years in a row, yeah. I go there every year and hang out at the Omni Tucson National Resort.
Yeah, I love that.
So you got a caddy now, Paul? You got Frank to caddy for you?
Hey.
You're set.
There you go.
Yeah, man, I can read greens.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate any help I can get. That's for sure.
Okay.
But that's my plan. You know, this year was fun. I got to play in two events. I played in the Pure Insurance at Pebble Beach was my first one. And I Monday qualified for that. Flew my son into caddy, so that to make my, debut, if you will, on the Champions Tour with my son on the bag at Pebble Beach, my favorite golf course on the planet. It was a dreamy week. And kind of had to admit I was a little emotional at least a handful of times on the week, just looking at Josh looping the bag and
how cool is that?
How old is Josh now?
Josh is 21. 16? He's 21.
Wow.
He's
crazy.
Kids grow up.
It's crazy.
How's his game going? Hasn't he been working on his game last few years?
No, he doesn't play much. He likes to go out and hit balls, but, he didn't, he never quite, got good enough to play college golf. So, you know, that kind of dream ended, and now golf is just for fun. So he's been working his butt off. He's living here at home, going to junior college and knocking out his basics. So he's finishing up his second year and he's doing awesome. I'm so happy for him and proud of him because he's working his butt off and really just determined to make good grades and work hard. So hats off. I'm hoping that this year I'll be able to get him out or he'll be able to take some time off or maybe this summer to come out and caddy. And that was the plan last year, but that darn coronavirus put a wrench in the plan. So he did come out a couple times on Monday qualifying opportunities and like I say, got the chance at Pebble. So it's fun. But I'm totally looking forward to, I'm enjoying the off season right now, but I'm really looking forward to getting going. I qualified for the senior PGA championship. So I'm excited. That's up the road in Tulsa at Southern Hills in May. So I'm in that field. I was in the senior British, the senior open, and that was postponed. So I'm hoping that my exemption will carry over. So if that's the case, I know I'm in two majors next year. So that's kind of good.
That's great. That's really cool.
I'm excited.
That's
really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That is great stuff. Take your son to Tucson. Have you stayed in that Omni Resort there on property?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just,
we used to play there for many years.
Yeah. The old Colago or the Conquistador Classic.
Yeah, it was at one point, it was the longest concurrently run PGA Tour event in the country.
It was.
And I think that they got the shaft.
Yeah, kind of. The Conquistadors put on one heck of a party out there. It is.
You know what? You're right, Frank. And I think, the difference between its crazy cousin up the road in Phoenix.
Yeah. Phoenix.
I loved the Phoenix Open, the Waste Management is what they call it now. It was because it was a spectacle, right? I mean, it was, I think, the craziest, coolest event, and it still is on the PGA Tour. It was, high energy. And then Tucson was like, it was a cool, fun, casual, it was almost like a getaway, as opposed to the craziness that's in Phoenix. So I did like it. It's really more... my nickname in college was Psycho. So you would think that Phoenix would be the place that I would like. Now I love the event. It was really fun, but I enjoyed Tucson. And I love Tucson itself. And I'm involved with Icon Golf and
sure.
We had two clubs there in up in Marana at Dove Mountain and the Gallery. And so I love going there. They're peaceful. I'm looking forward to doing the Monday and heck, if you have any pull whatsoever, I might even get a spot. We'll see how much pull you have.
Well, there you go. Throw it down.
Throw that back out there.
There you go.
They have
a drink.
Yeah, I'll do it. In fact, if you do that, I'll do a live update every day on your show that week. Come on.
Oh, look at that.
We'll be there we do the show live from the lobby Monday through Sunday. Of that week.
Well, come on.
So, yeah.
Well, then I will stop in and I'll do as much as I can.
I want to know from you, since you know this guy, what's going on PGA Tour Champions? What is McCarron, what's he doing for a breakfast drink? What's going on with him? He's playing some fabulous golf.
He did. This year was a little more of a struggle for him.
A little bit, yeah.
That's the thing about that tour. Scotty hits the ball a long way, probably still one of the longest players on that tour. And that's a big advantage. If you could hit, he's got wedges into every par four and he's getting home on all the par fives. So I'm more concerned and interested to see what Bernhard is doing because that dude is 60 whatever years old and
winning the Masters.
Unbelievable. I mean, gosh, he made the cut at the Masters and he beat,
a bunch of players.
Michelin Man and Bryson and head to head.
But isn't his Bryson discipline such that, I mean, he's so disciplined and so healthy, just watches
But
every
at some point, your body has to not be the same, though. Don't you agree, Frank? I mean, he's 62 or 3 or 4, or whatever he is now. I mean, it's just as much as he can be. You're still 64.
Well,
and
if you take care of yourself like he does,
beating these guys,
doesn't swing out of his shoes, doesn't try to torque his back out.
His swing has always looked very, it looks like he's swinging hard, but it's, you know, a lot of rotation, a lot of weird stuff going on. But yeah. Bernhardt, I mean, he's a player. Here's the thing about, to answer your question, Tim, is that the golf ball has no idea who you are, right? It's a ball that sits there, and you deliver it, deliver that club head into it, and it'll go. And so he still, now he doesn't hit it as far as he once did, but you can still putt well, you know, unless you've got the shakes, but he doesn't. You know, he putts it really well. He chips it really well. He works really hard on those two elements of the game. He works really hard on his body. So he's still strong, flexible, fit. So he's able to still drive the ball far enough. He drives it in the fairway. He irons it pretty darn well. He chips it good and putts it good. And he's got a great mind. So I don't know. There's not very many flaws in that guy's game. And it's pretty impressive. So, I mean, I know Rick Massengale. I know you guys have heard that name. Rick is 73 years old.
Oh, yeah.
He won three or four times on the PGA Tour back in the 70s. He's 73 years old, shoots his age all the time. He doesn't hit it very far. It's about 240, maybe. It's still a little tight 2 or 3 yard draw. Putts it great. You know, so the, shooting low numbers consistently, when you're good, you're good. You know, the only thing that really is going to take those guys out of the game is their body. And Bernhardt works really hard to keep it fit.
Yeah, and so do you. You've done a lot over this past year with your regimen of just changing your eating habits and workout habits and practice habits. So you're ready to get out there.
You're the Bryson DeChambeau of the Champions Tour, Paul. I don't know if you know
I'm looking like I'm going that way, but it's not with muscle. 2 years ago, I did eat really
get up to
well.
250.
I worked really hard on my game. I went from 210 down to 180. I was really strong. And I'm back up to a little like 192. And I'm getting fat and soft in all the wrong places.
It's the holidays. Come on.
Yeah, it is.
I do want to ask you, though, Paul. We're talking with Paul Stankowski about kind of going back a little bit to what we're talking about Tucson. And, of course, the Color Guard used to be run by and at the Omni National, as Frank was saying, and Danny Medina, who's moved to the new course where they just had that celebrity tournament. So that's another contact that Frank has for
Danny's
you.
Danny's good friend.
Danny's still got a lot of contacts. So we can put in a lot of good words for you there. Frank certainly can at Tucson. But back to the reason I'm asking you this, the event, and I'm guessing you watched a little bit of it, the Barkley, Mickelson, Manning, and Steph Curry. Are you enjoying those charity, but also celebrity events that they're putting on for basically just charity, but entertainment value? Do you enjoy watching that, or does it not stick well with you because it's Charles Barkley playing golf? It's not always the best of golf events. How do you think of those?
I'll tell you what, the one with Peyton and Brady and Phil and
Brady.
Tiger, I thought that was fantastic. I thought it was great. I honestly missed this one. I was traveling. I was somewhere, but I didn't get to see it. And I saw a few of the highlights on Twitter or whatever social media I was plugged into. But the one with Brady and Manning, I thought it was great. And it like that dialogue, and I think it was great because Chuck was in the booth, right? And that whole dialogue, Chuck giving Tom the business and then Tom holes it. And it was so funny because as soon as this ball rips into the hole, he just blurts out, "Suck on that, Chuck." And it was such a well-timed, just perfect. I laughed a lot during that one. It was probably one of my favorite golf events to watch in a long time. I didn't really like the one at Seminole. I mean, it was fine. It's always nice to see good golf. But having these other guys in the mix and – I think Barkley is one of the funniest human beings on the planet. So for that, I love having him in the booth. I need to go back and figure out a way to watch that one because I heard it was really good.
It was fabulous, and I'll tell you, you're absolutely right about the one with Brady. It was great. It was great golf. Great, a lot of fun. But this one, watching Phil and Barkley work together, and Phil clubbing him. And misclubbing him on purpose on the first hole with the wedge because he didn't think he'd hit it solid, and he did. It was great just to watch Phil. And this is what Curry said and Manning. They said, "We're just listening to Phil talk to Barkley because this is insight and how Phil's working this golf course, all these pointers."
Yeah.
And it really was
neat.
It was neat.
And you know what? Phil has, you know, he's always been an endearing person to the crowd, right? I mean, everybody loves Phil Mickelson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, say what you will. I you know, a lot of people don't know him. I don't know him really well. I mean, I've known him a long time, but, you know, I've never had a meal with Phil. He came to our golf house in college once when his team was, you know, but anyway, that's a whole nother story. But the, I've really enjoyed, obviously he's going to go down as one of the top 5-8 players in the, to ever play the game of golf. He's amazingly talented, but he's really funny. I love his social media presence the last few years. And he's just got this great sense of humor. He is a pro at needling, which is awesome. So anyway, I do enjoy anything that Phil is in. It's fun because he makes it fun. But go back to the one with Brady and Manning and with Chuck in the booth, and Phil hits this shot with a, I think a 3-wood or something. He's like, "Oh, be right." And it ends up like 20 yards short and 10 yards to the right of the green. And Chuck's like, "Be right, right for what?" You know, he was like giving him the business. I just think, like, I love, because golf announcing can be, well, you know, sometimes it could be just kind of
boring.
And yeah, you know, I love Jerry McCord. I thought he was fantastic to listen to, Faraday and all that. So that, you know, I don't want it buttoned up. I want it a little more fun. You know,
yeah.
I try to add that element. You know, when I do some broadcasting, I don't want to be, I mean, this is a game that's, this is a great game, and I don't want to mock it or make fun of it or be stupid, but I do enjoy a little bit of, a little something a little different.
And so anyway,
that's good stuff.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's the thing that a lot of folks forget about, a lot of us in broadcasting are players, coaches, whatever. At the end of the day, it's entertainment for the audience.
Sure.
So, you know, you're playing, you have to play to your audience. Is it a raucous crowd like Scottsdale? Or is it an intelligent crowd like the Masters? I mean, you play to
it. It's different.
That's just, yeah,
it's different. Hey, I get two questions for you guys. Different, very different questions. Second one's going to be about, because we just say we talked about the Women's U.S. Open played at Champions in Houston this week. Mm-hmm. But before we go to that, going back even to the games we were talking about and the fun, if you will, lighthearted ones with Barkley and everything, a big part of that, as you guys remember, is DraftKings and gambling. And they're a sponsor, but they're also a participant, as in, hey, you can go online and bet whether or not Charles is going to hit 3 straight fairways. Are you guys comfortable with that? That's certainly now a big part of sports in general. The NBA, NFL, everybody's allowing more gambling where it used to be kind of verboten. You know, like, oh, don't talk about that. Now the NFL has a team in Las Vegas. Are you guys cool with the fact that that seems to be where we're headed? There's more revenue for everybody. It's not going to go away. That we'll be watching events and you'll be getting tips and how to gamble and how to bet on different things during some of these golf events. Did that sit okay with you, Frank?
Yeah, it does. I like it. I think it's fun.
No problem.
It adds entertainment value. Again, here I go with entertainment, but it does. It adds the entertainment value to it for the individual on the couch watching the game or out at the course. You know, once patrons or spectators, if you will, are back, you can do it from the course. Of course, it's geo-fenced everywhere when you do a remote betting. But still, like Bet Rivers and people like that, DraftKings, whatever. Yeah, I love it. I'll shut up. I love it. I think it's fun.
What do you think, Paul?
I don't think you can stick your head in the sand as an organization and try to think it doesn't exist. I mean, everybody gambles now with sports, and so I like the fact that they're going that direction. You know, we still signed our own integrity deal that, you know, we're not supposed to gamble and all that kind of thing. And so, but you know, do guys gamble on Tuesday in practice round? Say, yeah.
Just a touch.
Are they gambling during the week? No, they're not. I mean, who knows? Maybe some guys are on Friday afternoon. They both play bad on Thursday. They're playing together. Like, hey, you want a little something, something on the side. I don't know if they do that or not. I never did, but, I like the fact that it's in there. You know, I'm a fantasy football guy. I did DraftKings. I put $25 into a DraftKings account, and I think I have 12 cents left. And that was like 3 years ago. So it's kind of fun that, you know, I'm able to
break
keep,
it, hanging
keep
in there.
Alive. I know. I was betting big with $25. But well, I just wanted to see how it worked. And
I learned the hard way on that, by the way, guys, that during the Derby last year or year before, whatever, Kentucky Derby 2 years ago, whatever, I bet on it last year and won, but ended up losing when they changed the result. I said, okay, I'll set up this account. And so I set it up online. It was the day before and all that. And I said, well, I need to put some money in it. Well, I don't want to give them my debit card. So it says American Express. So I clicked that and I put X number of dollars in from my American Express card. Well, that goes on your card as a cash advance. So be careful about that. Yeah. So I was like, what? When I got, I received the bill, there was a fee, and be careful with how you put money out there.
Yeah.
I set up a bank account, to be honest with you guys. I set up a separate bank account with a debit card that I use only for that. That's it.
So nothing else is in it.
That way you're protected.
Does it get confused? Yeah. It's probably the way to do it. And it was perfect because, obviously, Barkley and Mickelson are notorious gamblers for what they do. Off the course and maybe even on the course and whatever. So, yeah, it fit in perfectly with those guys. But I'm with you. I'm like, you know, it's not going away, and you can pretend all you want, but it's here, and it's going to be a part of what we're doing. I know we're all busy, got things to do today, so we'll wrap this up with final thoughts on the Women's U.S. Open. Again, playing down at Champions. And Frank, maybe next week we'll get our good friend Steve Elkington, as you said, a member there for eons, what's happening there. But looking forward to watching the women play. They're just here playing. I don't know, Paul, if you saw any of the results or anything, but they just finished playing here at the
Colony, right?
The Colony. But what's the name of the tournament? The American Volunteers.
Volunteers of America.
Yeah. Tournament,
that
they
nice
played
there.
And play
right on top of it here, boys. Where's that pre-show research?
What was the name of that thing there? And they played it.
I really wanted to get out to watch, and unfortunately, that's not possible. But I will be tuned in to see to watch the action. Man, it's gonna be fun. There's a lot of talented folk out there on the LPGA.
Well,
and
DeChambeau's caddy. DeChambeau's caddy, guys, is working with on the bag for Lexi this week. Lexi Thompson.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So,
hey,
Champions
is awesome, by the way. Both of those courses are really good, and it's going to be fun to watch on TV. And that club, the history there, Jackie Burke's still out there every single day.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
What a legend!
Given putting lessons and. If you ever have a chance to go and sit in his
98 years old or something,
look at all the pictures on he's 96 or something. All the pictures on the wall, the people that he has played golf with and been around, it's fascinating.
Well, they redid Cypress Creek course for this. The Jackrabbit course they didn't, but it holds its own. It's a great golf
it's
course.
Awesome.
Also,
I play. My brother-in-law is a member out there, so we'll usually for Thanksgiving. When we go down to Houston for Thanksgiving, we'll go play one of the golf courses. They're both perfect. The greens are phenomenal. It's so good and so fast and pure. And it's a course that you got to drive the ball in the fairway.
Yeah.
And I remember back when I was in I'm playing the mini tours right out of college. I did the U.S. Open qualifier there in June, 36 holes in Houston in June. Yeah, not a good idea.
That's hot.
But this golf course, I remember looking at the scorecard on the big course. And there were at the time, that was 1991 or something, where you hit the ball about 260 yards off the tee. There were like six par fours over 450 yards, which back then,
huge.
Like I say, if you hit it 260 off the tee on a 450 hole, you got what, 190? Is that right? So that's a long way. A
couple hundred yards coming in. Yeah.
I wore out my mid irons, and I'm like, this course is brutal. Well, it's obviously still the same length, but we hit a lot farther now. But there's a lot of dog legs, and you got to get the ball in the right spot. And and you put it on the wrong part of the greens, it's hard to two putt. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, you're right. It's so historic there. Yeah. If you get a chance to go, of course, you can't pull up and say, "Hey, I'd like to play." It doesn't work that
you
way
could.
That course.
You actually can pull up because it's literally the parking lot is right on the road. You're
well, yeah, gay. Yeah, but they
There's
won't
no
let you play.
So you live. They won't let you play, but you can pull up there and walk.
And try,
in
but you can
go,
pull
hey,
up.
Yeah, Mr. Elkington, Mark, can I get out and play a little bit?
Elkington Stankowski's brother-in-law told me it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could get Elkington said I could play yeah. and put it on his tab. B-O-1-2-7.
It's like going to Bethpage. Yeah, you could do it.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see what happens. Angela Stanford coming off her win at the Volunteers of America tournament that they played here in Dallas. And she's headed down there. She's from Fort Worth. So maybe a little Texas charm will work 2 weeks in a row. But best of luck to the women. Should be entertaining. Should be a lot of fun to watch them. And I did watch quite a bit of their tournament here, the Volunteers of America tournament, and bad weather early in the morning and stuff, so it kind of affected a little bit of their play. They had some cold weather, but it warmed up nicely on the weekend. So anyway, check it out, Women's U.S. Open, all over Golf Channel and I guess NBC during the weekend, so it should be a lot of fun. Well, Stank, we appreciate your time, as always, and your insight and your levity for what's going on.
Always
You're going to be playing a little bit more and getting ready for over the winter, but getting ready for late February. Again, the next time you're going to have a chance to Monday qualify will be the Kolegaard. And we'll keep an eye on that. And, Frank, you and I will talk about this so we can put a word in with whoever
we
can.
I'll
can
make a few
anyway,
phone calls
Frankie,
just to see. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the thing, Never guys. Know. So I'm going to be there anyway all week. We're doing an Icon event the week before up at Dove Mountain. And so I'm going to be there early. Obviously, I'm going to be around even if I don't get in, I might stick around. And you're doing your show there all week?
Yeah, we do. That's the plan. We've done it every year. Okay. Just make sure that you know COVID doesn't block us out, but I think so. And we'll go up to Stone Canyon and play too, if you want to. That'd be
all
fun.
Right. Well, what we'll do is maybe if I stick around, if you have no pool and I don't have no game, then maybe I'll stick around and put the headset on.
there's a great pool area there at the Omni Tucson National Resort, so we'll just hang out there.
Yeah. Nice. So well, that'd just, be fun. All right, fun. Boys.
All right, man. Thanks, okay. Tanky. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Paul. Take care,
have
buddy.
A great day.
Take care.
Play
See
well
ya.
Today.
All
you
right.
too.
We appreciate it. There you go, Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, and we'll see. It'd be nice, though, Frank, if there's any, you know, obviously we will, and you know the people there much, much better than I do, so you never
we'll see what happens. You never know. I mean, you never know.
Especially if we're broadcasting, we can say, hey, as broadcasters promoting this thing, Paul's kind of our guy, would really help to help promote it. You know, we kind of use a little bit of that influence, and they'll be like, oh, well, gosh, if Golf Talk America is behind Paul Stankowski, then
I mean,
how can we
yeah.
say, oh. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
Golf Talk America. That's what should happen right there. So that'd be fun.
It'll be fun. So you're playing golf. Before we go, you're playing golf today, and you're playing golf with one of my favorite people in the world, star of Blazing Saddles, Burton Gilliam.
Burton Gilliam is playing, and I'll let you know about it next time we talk. Hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. Burton's had some chemotherapy issues, not issues, but treatments that he's had to go through.
But he's all good.
All done with that. That's great. So it's first. Yes, everything should be good. He said it's the first time, and he's anxious. First time he's played since literally like January, maybe of last year.
Correct.
Or this year, I guess. But yeah, January. So it's been a long, long time that he's picked up a golf club. So we'll see. And we're playing at Heath Golf and Yacht Club over in Heath. Brand new golf course right there.
Not.
Just east of downtown Dallas.
Not a Club Corp property, but be remiss, Club Corp, clubcorp.com, great presenting sponsor of Golf Talk America, and we appreciate them very, very, very much. And you'll be back at the Club Corp property, which is yours in Dallas, and I'll be at one,
Prestonwood,
which is Bluegrass Yacht and Country Club here. And a lot of fun stuff going on at Club Corp. Also, I want to thank our long, long, long time from day one sponsor of this show, the French Lick Resort. Go to FrenchLick.com and check it out. Sign up. Go there. It truly is a bucket list. The Pete Dye course, the Donald Ross course, the Tom Bendolo course. They have foot golf for the kid. They've got everything. So check
Casino.
It out. Casino, especially. Yeah. FrenchLick.com.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
It's a cool place. Go see Larry Bird's.
There you go.
It's a museum to Larry Bird right place. There in the middle of town and a bar. Yeah. It's great.
That's
huge.
That's where Larry Bird grew up, French Lick, Indiana.
So, all right, buddy.
Well,
y'all play well.
It.
Give Burton my best.
Thank you.
Tell him hi.
I will do it. I will do it. All right, for Paul Stankowski and Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.